from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
Listening to Live from the Path. We're coming from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. It's good to have you here on a crisp either Monday or Saturday night, depending on when you're listening. I suppose you could be a podcaster and you could be kind of doing other stuff.
Yeah, I might listen to the show on Wednesday night.
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate
it. Or even in the morning.
Okay. I appreciate that, Dave.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the show.
I'm just saying.
Morning, day, and or night.
What?
Thanks for listening to the show. Morning, day, and or night.
Okay. No, that's true. You could do it any of the above. Yeah, who gives a flip? Anyway.
All right, what have we got?
Here's what's going on the show tonight on Life from the Path. First of all, a big heads up on be watching your Twitter, all right, this week. Tonight is the night after the show. We're going to figure out when we're doing this hibachi buffet.
Oh, yeah.
There's a buzz. And so we're going to get that nailed down. That's happening within the next 2 weeks. So heads up. Here's the deal. When I say, hey, like, I'm inviting you all out to the hibachi, Don't read that as me saying I'm paying for you to come out to the hibachi. That is not what's happening. I mean, I may or may not love you, but even if I do, it does not mean that I'm going to buy you the buffet. Okay, mm-hmm. I would love to see you out there, but we don't have that kind of scratch around here.
Yeah,
I mean, if you've heard the program, like we're probably a $45 program, and that's not enough to cover everybody for hibachi. All right, so I'm afraid you're gonna have to buy your own buffet. However. I would love to have you come out. So anyway, keep an eye on Twitter, and we'll be throwing that out sometime this week, so you can hopefully you can meet us out there. What's going on the show tonight? So we're on number 6 of the guy that wrote an article on Time.com. It's What I Gained When I Lost My Religion. Number 6 is Getting Sunday Mornings Back. This seems shallow on the offset, but we'll take a look at it. We'll see what if number 6 is a viable reason for you know, going REM style and losing your religion. Mm-hmm. Also, we got a couple popes in the studio. Booba's got some pope style. Dave Herrick's got some pope style.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you're unfamiliar with it, the premise of pope style advice is some ne'er-do-well has pointed people to your place and have mistaken you for the pope. And so you come out in your undies and your bathrobe, and you have to give them something like the pope would when he stands out on that balcony, some sort of advice or words of wisdom that are also true in your life so the people will get off your lawn and go away. And that's the pope style. We got some advice on Dear Life from the Path. There's woes of the world, and we're here to help. And also, if we have time, I wanted a quick touch on that the hubbub in Houston with the sermons. I thought that, I've heard like a million people talking about it, but you know, it's what gets the ratings, boys. Houston sermons, it gets the Christians riled up.
Everybody's talking
when
about
you
it.
Talk about it. And they listen to your program. And because we're only a $45 program, we've got to reach out for the people.
Put some baloney out for people to come.
all right, so a little wrap up with this Time.com article. Again, we're doing What I Gained When I Lost My Religion. And we've gone through one to five, some things that he's gained since losing his religion. He's got a peace of mind, a rediscovery of a love of learning, the ability to accept people I formerly judged, less judgment toward myself for some things. And I give credit where credit is due, both to others and to myself. And last week we kind of talked about... It was just kind of a weird example why you wouldn't recognize a good job when it came from somebody when it happened. I don't know what I think of the ones that we've heard so far. We had a little bit of trouble parsing out where that's coming from, unless he's just overreached. He's taken something that perhaps he misunderstood to begin with and then moved it entirely into an unnecessary column that most people don't act like, and then called that kind of the issue. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, his number 6 is Getting Sunday Mornings Back. It's something to gain when I lost my religion. Here he says, of course, it extends beyond that once you consider how much a person's life can be spent investing in things like prayer, worship, Bible study, witnessing growing membership, or attending conferences, which teach you how to do all these things more effectively. After you give those things up, you realize just how much your life you get back. I never resented my religion for the amount of time and effort it took up. I enjoyed it at the time because I believed all of it was pleasing to God, and that's all I wanted in life. But now that I've given up the ghost, so to speak, I see that there are so many other valuable things toward which I could be devoting my time and energy. It takes a lot of time to worship Jesus, Booba.
Yeah, it definitely does, in a good way. I agree with where he's coming from. Is a believer loves what they're doing and enjoys the fact they get to spend time. But I'm sorry, if you think that you're whittling time is more important than spending time with people that genuinely want to be around each other and want to love on each other and serve each other and care about each other. I'm sorry. You're wrong. That's just wrong. I can't imagine me wanting to spend more time at my house watching movies than spending time with people that genuinely love me and I genuinely love. I don't have to have the whole Christ-following thing involved in there for me to spend time with my family, that my church family. Even if we weren't Christ followers, spending time with them and feeling love would be enough for me to spend that much time. I don't see it. I see it from a community standpoint. On top of I'm spending time with investing in the church. It's not just that time that I'm trying to get or put stuff into. I'm getting out of that time.
This is like the guy who says, "Man, I'm so glad I finally divorced my wife because I used to spend all of this time with the love of my life." With the person that completed me, my soulmate, and now I have time to go fishing.
Yeah, exactly. I have a lot of time to work on the car now.
Yeah. Okay.
Good for you, man.
I get to play solitaire now on my phone.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, well, all right.
I recently took up Scrabble a lot. It's like, I don't get it, man. I just don't understand it.
I'm upset by the fact that he identifies just Sunday. It's like,
yeah.
Really? Sunday morning? That was it? That's the extent of your spirituality?
That might explain
didn't
it.
Affect the other times of the week or anything else like
he
that?
He didn't give up much.
Yeah, Sunday mornings and conferences.
It's like, okay, so you had 1 hour for God each week, and all the rest of the time you were doing your own thing? Something's missing in this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like if you're following God appropriately, basically to the tune of what Jesus calls you to do, your reaction to finding out that if you've discovered or believe that God is not real is that he wrecked my life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the right reaction. Yeah. It's like this fake God ruined my life.
Yeah.
Right.
Not, oh, man, he took a few hours on Sunday for me.
I lost an hour every week and then 4 hours every 6 months at a conference. Yeah. Really, man?
But when you are truly in relationship with someone, a community of believers or you know, Jesus, like or your wife, I can't tell you how much time I spent thinking about or being with my wife last week. I mean, you just enjoy it. You just do it. It's an extension of who you are and your life. And the same with your relationship with God. It's just I can't tell you how much time I spent in a Bible reading or you know. Then it's just a bunch of boxes you're checking.
Yeah.
Oh, I did my prayer time. I did my Bible time.
Yes.
I think that's where he went.
This
astray.
One kind of explains itself, to be 100% honest with you. Yeah. I've been in that place where I've spent the hour every week and I've spent the couple hours every couple months at a conference before, and I would agree that was a waste of my time. Mm-hmm. In some aspect, what I mean is I had to get to the point where I was truly invested. I was invested in my church as a believer in Christ and as a person that was a part of the community until I thought that time was valuable. When I was only spending an hour every week, I thought that was a waste of my time because I didn't have a true relationship until I jumped in and truly started believing that I was a follower of Christ and part of the bride of Christ, part of the community that was my church, started giving rather than just taking. I started seeing worth in all that time. And now I can't tell you how much time I spend every week in church, just like I wouldn't be able to tell you how much time I would spend with a girlfriend or with a wife. I agree with that entirely. The fact that you only spend 1 hour every week on Sundays and spend some time and then spend some time in those wonderful conferences every 6 months, 7 months, that may be where it comes from, where you thought that was a waste of time.
Yeah.
You weren't filling yourself with God's love. You weren't allowing God to overflow your cup because you weren't spending enough time with him. It's counterproductive, and that's the reason you thought you were not investing good time, in my thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's just, I mean, it's true that he's saying a very general thing about something you may have committed time to that you're no longer committing time to, but to the extent of ultimately what Jesus is calling you to do with your life, this should have a much greater impact than what he's representing.
Yeah.
Not having it be a greater impact, what would make you feel that perhaps, I mean, that's exactly what was is the type of thing that you'd say either this is the best thing that's ever happened to me or it has ruined my life. It's kind of one of those options. When when Jesus says you give up everything and you follow me, it will either be totally awesome or complete disaster. And it won't just be a minor inconvenience. If your religion is a minor inconvenience to you, you might as well give it up. Like, that's not really what he's calling to. And I don't know, you're getting the worst of all worlds. You're getting the non-relationship aspect of Jesus and probably a restrictive morality from someone you don't know, and you're pulling time away from, you know, ping pong or whatever it is you do with your life.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that sounds like it sucks. You should probably change your ways and either jump in or get out.
Yeah. If I spend an hour every week going to a council meeting for a county that I'm not involved in that has nothing to do with me, and then I said, I'm done going to this county meeting. I don't even live in that county.
I'm sorry, county meeting?
County meeting, whatever.
You know, it's everybody
sure.
does.
Everybody, yeah, every everybody other has Tuesday them county night. Meetings. Don't, whatever, you don't. You get what I'm saying. If I spend an hour, okay, fine, at a city hall meeting, and they're talking.
Let's go with city council.
City
let's
council.
Let's use an example that is A, real, and B, people
hey,
might have.
For all of our listeners happen. Who can relate
that's
to
how,
this.
That's how non-invested you guys are in your county. I go to those county meetings.
Hey, y'all, we're having whatever. A county meeting.
Yeah.
What county do you
hey, y'all, we're going to a county meeting today, and we're going to be so
y'all
a city
need
hall
to shower at different times of the day.
A city council meeting to a city that I have nothing to do with, that has nothing to do with any of my surrounding area, and I spend an hour there every week.
Yeah.
And then I finally decide, oh, I'm done. I'm no longer going to the city council meeting. I can understand that from the concept of, well, yeah, you just got an hour back. You no longer have to go to that.
Yeah.
You weren't getting anything out of it because you weren't putting anything into it. Mm-hmm. So same situation here.
Yeah.
This guy is not putting towards the effort that he needs to, that God calls him to do so, that Christ commands us to do is spend that time in our relationship, serving people, serving our community, praying, reading our sake of actually knowing him more, not just reading the words. He's not investing his heart and his time into it well enough to get anything out of it. So I can see where he's coming from, and I feel bad that he's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
County meeting.
And also, I would agree with him that if I've always wondered, people who really don't believe, why do they waste so much time at church?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, what a waste of someone's morning.
Yeah.
If they're doing it for religion yeah. or...
Thanks, lukewarm. I'm going to spit you out.
Yeah.
That's fierce. True, but fierce. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I struggle with that, actually, with people that I know. And I'm like, what? See, really? What are you doing here?
Yeah. I apologize for that time.
I'm
that was me.
I'm glad
gentlemen.
To have you, but I cannot figure it. Like, you make bad decisions in life.
Yeah.
It feels weird to say, hey, coming to church is a bad decision, but I don't understand reasonably why you walked into this building. There's better places to get donuts without people surrounding you. Like, I mean, basically, you're trading about an hour of your time for a free donut and some friends. I'm like, you know, I don't know.
It might maybe? Not stop bugging you.
Okay. All right. Anyway, that was number six. Man, he's kind of going downhill. I was kind of impressed with him.
I think he put a lot into the first four and then it just kind of started fading a little.
You got to get to 10, man. No one likes to listen to it. Oh, wait. Hold on. No, he's got 11.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
That's his editor's fault.
That's his play against the Ten Commandments. He was a God does 10, I do 11.
Yeah.
And I one up him.
Yeah.
I see your law.
I see your 10 and I raise it one.
Someone hasn't read Deuteronomy. All right. So anyway, next week we'll get to number 7. Oh crap, I kinda wanna do this one today. Better health.
He has better health now? Wow.
Ever since I stopped drinking the communion wine.
Shoot. We're going to see what happens. We may come back to this today.
Those donuts
we might talk about that
those
later.
Those donuts really do pile up.
See what goes back to.
I invested an hour every Sunday, and I got 2 free donuts.
You know how old that communion bread is?
My physical. I can't read
all
it.
All that kneeling. It hurts my arthritis.
I'm going to have to let that one slide. All right. So we got a couple rounds of Pope-style advice. Booba, why don't you fire it up? What's your Pope-style this week?
All right. There's no easier way or more simple way to say it than God is – he's incredible. He's amazing. Just to make sure that you guys did hear, the premise of Pope-style advice once again is there is some random dude that keeps telling people that the Pope is nearby, and he's talked to thousands of people and told them, hey, I know where the Pope is living. I know where he's staying right now, and it's John Booba's house. You need to go get advice from him. So I've got a couple thousand people on my front doorstep. They're not going to leave until I give them some piece of advice that means something to them and is actually going to get them off my lawn. So here we go. You need to trust God. And I know that's broad, and I'll explain a little bit of the story, but you need to truly trust God.
We use the word ladies on this program. Booba. Don't be so insensitive.
My apologies. So, and I mean that specifically right now in this specific situation of finances. I will say that very recently I've been in a little bit of straits, and I won't go in too much depth into that because obviously I don't want to give you too much personal information, but I had some issues, and I kind of broke down, and I had to pray about that, and I had to reach out to people and kind of kill my pride when it came to a couple things. But within months, God has flipped that from me praying to him for resources to me praying to him to take my resources and send them where he wants me to. I didn't hit a lottery. I didn't hit anything crazy like that. But I was talking to a couple people before the show in regards to math. I've been doing a lot of it, and it's not making sense.
Right.
And I know it's not based off of my calculations because I've gone through them and I've had other people go through them, and we're just not figuring this out. But for some reason, God was able to take the same amount of money and flip that from me not having any to me having a lot to give away. And it's such an amazing thing. I've been able to, or I shouldn't say I've been able to, God's been able to use me to bless more and more people, and it's so incredible. The way that that God's been trusting me with a little bit more and a little bit more, and showing me that that if you invest yourself and you, if you care and if you're able to be a manager of little, he says he'll make you manager of much. He'll give you more to manage and to steward, and it's so incredible the way that I've thought about that for years, and I've thought about money and finances and tithing, and I've thought about, you know, what am I supposed to do with my extra cash, and am I spending too much money on me and not enough on other people? And God has shown me an avenue to be able to use that money and then blessed me in the process. Somehow I am spending more money on other things that have nothing to do with me, yet I walk away happier. And I cannot stress that enough, because I know that money is one of the things that for some reason stresses us more as people than a lot of other situations. And a lot of people get are angry about their budgets and about, you know, with anger with their spouses on what's going on with the budget and how they're going to pay for things. And I have more joy in my financial situation now that I'm giving more. And I cannot say that without truly meaning it. It's insane. If I talked to myself a year ago and said, you're going to give more money than you ever have, and I'm not trying to boast there, I'm trying to boast for God, but you're going to give more money than you ever have in your life, and you're going to get more joy out of that.
Yeah.
And it's so incredible how God's used that. And I cannot stress that I'm not saying this so people think that I'm a great guy, because I'm not. I'm stressing this and saying this because God needs to be glorified through this. He has done such an amazing amount of work in my life and in my finances and in my situation, showing me where I can help and showing me his lost. And through the financial situation, I've been able to talk to more people about Jesus Christ than I have in years. And I'm presented with a biweekly situation where I can just walk up to a bunch of people and talk to them about Jesus, or just talk into their life. And then on top of that, God's saying, it just doesn't happen on this day. Look at my people here.
Yeah.
Look at my people here. See them here. See that there's need outside of your organizations and outside of your meetings and your events. Find my people and help them. Help them for me. You know they're there. They're always going to be there. Help them for me. So I guess I kind of made like 6 or 7 points, but ultimately just trust God. He is so incredible. He knows your heart and your needs more than you could ever even imagine. And he's going to care for them more than you could ever even imagine. It's so incredible the way that he finds our needs and he shows us what they truly are and he takes care of them. And I have never seen that played out in my life so much as I have in the last couple months. So trust him. Place your trust in him. Trust that he's going to take care of you. And he truly will. He loves you enough to take care of you. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to take care of you in the way that you have designed. You have to let him do it in the way that he has designed. And let yourself be joyful through that. Now get off my lawn.
You know what's interesting? I was actually listening to something on the way here that was covering, you know, parts of Matthew 6 about not being anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times money is the root of that anxiety. And this part is getting to this follows where he says you can't serve God and money, and he's talking about not being anxious about your life. And I think the linchpin here is sometimes we want to believe very strongly the don't be anxious, God will provide food and clothes.
Right.
They're the things that we want. And then we ignore the fact where he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Mm-hmm. We just want the food and the clothes to show up.
Yeah. We want to be taken care of. We don't want to take care of others.
Yeah. And like, I don't know if trade's the right way to work for it, but he's saying this is out of this. These things flow, not God, show me the food and clothes that I may give them. He's mm-hmm. saying, you know, pursue me, pursue righteousness, pursue the work of the kingdom, and I'll take care of it because you're doing my work, and I'm the king, and I fund work that I want done in my kingdom.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we miss that. We'll look at things and say, I've never just stood somewhere and God delivered clothes. You know, but think of the people that are on the other side of God's work in John Bova's life. Mm-hmm. That guy was standing around and clothes showed up mm-hmm. and food showed up because mm-hmm. Bova's pursuing righteousness. Mm-hmm. It's happening.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, it's just interesting. I think sometimes, especially coming from a perspective of where we need very little and we provide much for our own, that section of scripture is very creepy for us because we're like, that just seems like miracles where clothes appear and they don't appear. So maybe I'll just take that as a symbol. and, you know, as if God doesn't literally do the things he says that he will do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about that very similar thing on the way here of, you know, those things actually do happen. Mm-hmm. What God says will happen. But he says, seek first the kingdom of God. And that's when those things occur. So
I was kind of having a conversation with God recently in the last week. I can't remember what day. But I was just kind of thinking kingdom, just kind of meditating on the thought and the idea. And you know, it was first introduced to me like in college. You know, I thought, oh, kingdom, yeah, it's bigger. You know, but I don't know if I've ever, you know, I can give you textbook definitions. I talk kingdom. I kind of get it maybe more than some of my peers, but maybe not. But anyway, I don't get it enough, and I was just, you know, I was just thinking there's a gap somewhere, and I was thinking what if I truly grasped kingdom? How does that change my prayer life? How does that change my thought, my actions, my day to day? And I was just, you know, this conversation with God. God, do whatever you. I mean, help me see this.
Yeah.
Not help me get it. You know.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, one of those things just led to another. But I mean, as I thought through, what does that do to my prayer? Because we're so selfish in our, I mean, not always, but, you know, we may pray for other people. We still go through this mentality, I'm going to pray for this, and I'm going to have this list. And it might even be good, noble things, but is any of that kingdom? Some of it might be, some of it might not be. I don't know. But it goes through my filter, and I was asking God just to take my filter out and put his in, you know?
Yeah.
And retrain me if I need to be. Whatever, you know, whatever that means.
Yeah, right.
It's a strange conversation to have in a vagueness of, okay, God, do what you want. But
yeah.
It was kingdom, you know, related and trust. And I don't even know where that's going to go.
Well, so I've been thinking about that a lot, actually. And so this is what it feels like to me. Sometimes prayers like King Jesus. So all I have is Middle Ages kings. That's what's in my mind, right? That's the only thing I can think of. Big King Jesus kind of sitting around. And he sees, please. He sees me kind of walking around in this great hall of which he is sitting, and he goes, Ben, tell me what's going on in the kingdom. And that's my prayer, is the thing that I'm talking to him about. Well, I tell you what, God, here's what's happening. Here's what's going on, and we're doing these things. We could sure use some help. And he says, good, I'll send some people. And I say, God, I'm really actually, you know, in the kingdom, in this small village that I live in, you know, we're actually really struggling with this. And he comforts you. And like that, this is what's in my mind. I don't know how this is realistic. But
I love
it. This is part of what's in my mind is like talking to King Jesus.
Throne Jesus.
You're just, this has helped actually frame a lot of, I've been feeling real lazy at times on kingdom work. And I think of, you know, you're putting on the full armor of God. And then sometimes I just leave it at the bedside. And then I just walk the countryside, and I don't go to the war or anything. I just
it's so much lighter.
Yeah, and maybe if I don't run into King Jesus, maybe he doesn't know that I didn't put the armor on that day and that I left it at home next to the bed. But like some days, I'm out walking the countryside, and King Jesus is standing there, and he's like, Ben, you're not fighting for my kingdom. What are you doing? Just kind of walking the countryside. And he says, I love you, but get back in there. Put on the armor I gave you, and get in the war because you're fighting for the kingdom here. And I'm like, okay, yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And frankly, it's pretty embarrassing when King Jesus finds you walking around in the pasture. Like, if you're just walking the grounds.
Not but your underwear.
Yeah. You know.
How's it going?
Just wanted to take a walk. There may be something very elementary of how I'm seeing those things, but, like, it very much helps me see things in perspective where I think, I'm supposed to be doing something. I have work to do in the kingdom. God has provided for me. He has set me up with a sweet kingdom to live in. I shan't walk around in my undies perusing the pastures when King Jesus rides by. Not because I'm afraid he's going to take a spear at me, but because I want to serve King Jesus. And like, sometimes there are just parts of you where you start wandering the fields and your mind has to snap back. It's like, oh, no. Like, if I were presented with the choice right now that says, do you want to wander the fields or serve King Jesus? I'm like, I want to serve King Jesus. What are you doing right now? Oh, yeah. Perhaps I shall go back. So anyway, like I said, could be rudimentary, but him as like a ninth century king, it very much helps me keep things in the right perspective. All right.
That's a powerful dude. That's understandable.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's a powerful dude. It's helpful for me.
Middle-aged Jesus.
Buva, that's solid Pope style. That's solid Pope style. And I think here's what's helpful is sometimes you have to walk through that. You have to do that for it to be true. Otherwise, it sounds like things that people who have gotten used to a low standard of living say.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Or it sounds like things that people who seem to have like a dead nuts faith say, and you're like, that guy doesn't live in the real world.
Yeah, it's like, I appreciate where you're coming from when it comes to finances, and I know you talk about how God is going to take care of you entirely, but have you tried stuffed crust pizza lately? Because that's like $13 a pop, and I can't do that and serve other people.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. But no, I completely agree with that. I had to see it firsthand to have any faith in that, and I had to take that I'm not even going to call it a step. I'm not even going to call it a jump. It wasn't a leap of faith. It was me going, all right, God, fine. You said this. I believe it. Let's do this.
Yeah, it's really just taking God up on his end of the deal.
It's like,
of the deal.
You've told me maybe 30 times or so that this is going to happen, that you love me entirely. Completely all these different things, and I should trust you. Fine. All right, I'm going to. It's easy and incredibly difficult at the same time, but if you have a heart for God and you trust that he's going to take care of you, and you know that no matter what the outcome is, it's going to be better for the kingdom if you're doing it this way. That's what you do.
You said a little bit more earlier, and this song came to mind.
Thank you.
A little bit more.
Thanks for that, man.
Sorry. Something about you talking, Boova, caused me distraction.
A little bit more.
I love that song, though.
A little bit more.
All right. Cool. Let's see. All right, so here's the deal with this Houston business. So there's Dan, are you close to this story? You follow this thing closely?
Just the headline stuff. I mean, I haven't got into great detail. I mean, I may have heard a few things.
You got to brief me. I'll admit it. I have no idea what you're talking about.
There's
Boova's out helping people. I'm digesting news.
Well, wasn't there a city ordinance, something about restrooms and cross-gender, being able to get into whatever restroom you want? Mm-hmm. And some pastor sued saying they don't want to do that and had a bunch of petitions, but they didn't really follow all the rules correctly. And anyway, somewhere in there, the mayor petitioned or subpoenaed
the sermons.
The
right?
Sermons.
Yeah.
I probably missed some.
It wasn't
details.
The mayor specifically. It was a lawyer acting on behalf of the mayor.
Okay.
The subpoenas were issued by essentially a pro bono lawyer, which means they're not on official city staff.
Gotcha.
But they're involved on the city's behalf in terms of the lawsuit. So. And it's in the initial stages of discovery of a trial where they're just trying to look through everything and anything that they can, and they're asking for what kind of public records were thrown out there, you know, what. But it's so broad that it includes all forms of public speech related to this in any way, yeah, shape, or form. So if, you know, some guy's standing on a street corner blaring out at the top of his lungs, in theory, he would be part of that subpoena, which really starts getting into freedom of speech issues.
Yeah. So, you know, I've seen a pretty swift cross-grader reactions on this thing. This is the end of your rights as you know it. Or, well, what do I care? Send him the sermon. And so the question is how do you react to such a thing in a way that furthers the kingdom? Maybe that's what I'm asking. It is a question of, it is a realistic question, I think, of First Amendment rights Mm-hmm. But let's say for a moment that I don't care. Mm-hmm. I'm asking, as a guy that loves Jesus, mm-hmm. in a nation that is asking for something that may or may not have legal rights to, what is your appropriate reaction?
How does the First Amendment impact the kingdom?
That is the question of the day, Buva. Have you sat on the John and put any thoughts on it?
I have not, no.
Well, if we serve a kingdom that is beyond this kingdom, it's irrelevant. You're gonna keep saying the same thing no matter what they say. Yeah, take my sermons, whatever. I don't care. I'd like to actually wouldn't mind to sit down and have a conversation with you, attorney dude, you know, or mayor, whoever is asking. It seems like Paul did some of that, you know, yeah. got to audience with the king here and there and governors or whatever. And
what would you like to know, right?
Yeah, I'm an open book. Let me tell you about Jesus. And what he thinks about cross-gender bathrooms, I don't know if that how that fits.
That's kind of, okay, so I guess what I was trying to figure out is that's kind of my general reaction. It's like, I don't, you know, whatever. I mean, seems like I don't really want to have to pay someone to dig this stuff up and send it to you. Sounds like it's going to cost me $280 in postage. You have to mail this to your joint if you can pick it up, I guess.
I realize the other side of this that are concerned that it's going to lead to pastors going to jail and so forth.
Yeah.
And then I think, well, that's pretty much the history of the entire church.
Yeah. So right.
It's the then there's the rub of, well, but we're in a free society. That's the whole point of America. So I get the idea of pushing back on this. I guess however it falls, I'm not going to change what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't alter my discussion, my conversation, my speeches.
Yeah.
I like it. I really like the idea that we live in a nation where I can say what I want.
Yeah.
Without harassment, although that really is gone. Well, I haven't been personally harassed, but it's on the way out.
Go ahead, Buva.
I'm trying to figure out where there's a big stink between, I don't know, I'm trying to think of how to word this correctly. So, ultimately, we shouldn't care entirely what our government's saying against, if it's going against our beliefs. Ultimately, Jesus called, his kingdom is higher than all. I think we can all agree on that piece.
As long as you're willing to pay the price.
Yeah, exactly.
That will come with that.
And there will be, and you need to expect that. I mean, there's a reason that there are a lot of people that have gone against the church over the years. There's a reason that in Jesus' time, they were trying to stamp him out. Whether it was the Jews that were trying to stamp him out because they were going against their religion. And then eventually after Jesus' time, where the church was growing and growing and growing, and the government and powers that be were trying to stomp that out as well.
Yeah.
Jesus called his followers to be in a new kingdom, allegiance against the kingdom that they were in, going into his new kingdom. His laws in his kingdom were more important and were higher than the kingdom of men. If we're in that same situation now, there shouldn't be any stipulation between the two. If there is a kingdom that is trying to go against the one that we believe in, we are truly going against what we are trying to preach as Christ followers. We need to choose the kingdom of Christ first. That is our biggest piece. And you're absolutely right. We need to expect consequences. We are told that we need to expect consequences to that. We know historically what has happened to people who have gone against society and against the kingdom at a time to go for the kingdom of God. And if that's where this is coming from, and I haven't read enough to speak specifically to the points myself, but if that's what this is boiling down to, where we are either speaking and aligning ourselves with the kingdom of God, or we are staying behind and we are not aligning ourselves with that, we have a clear and cut choice. We know exactly what we need to do. There is one choice that is above all, and that is choosing the kingdom of God and furthering that for the souls of this world, yep. for the people in it. That is the most important piece that we need to be called upon, and it does not matter any other piece. We know death comes upon. We know that persecution comes. We know that harassment comes. We should be expecting those pieces. Hopefully it doesn't get that far soon. I think ultimately we need to expect that. But we need to know that that's going to happen if we are revolting against a kingdom that is against our God.
Yeah, and it reminds me of kind of some of the encouragement in Revelation 13, where it's like, if anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes.
Yeah.
If anyone is to be slain with the sword he must be slain. Here's a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. Like, it's and maybe this is what it is. I struggle. The truth is that I struggle with where the balance may not even be the right word, but to what level it is appropriate to spend energy on fighting something like that when it is completely reasonable within the realm of our country infrastructure to say no, this is not right. Like, that's completely reasonable. I struggle, I think, with the balance of how much effort I put into that versus there's other kingdom work that could be going on.
Yeah.
That I think is a reasonable thing to tussle with, because part of what you are fighting for is the ability to continue to speak and to reach more people in an easier fashion. However, it is the surprise, I think, out of some of the mouths of these folks and the indignation that makes it sound like you've never heard of something like this happening. When I think, like, certainly the story that the first century tells of Christianity and recurring well throughout the centuries, just depending on where you're at geographically, I don't know, like, the surprise is simply uncalled for.
Well, we've been raised with the idea that this is a quote, Christian nation, that we have certain freedoms, and a lot of those have been pushed against in the last 10 years or so or more, and a lot of the church hasn't recognized it yet. And they're still fighting battles from the 80s, not realizing that battle's lost a long time ago.
Yeah.
And some of the public things you hear and see are people hanging on. A lot of the outcry and anger with the LGBT community, it goes back to, hey, this is how it used to be, and now you're doing it this way, and culture is shifting. And instead of worrying about the kingdom, they're worried about, my comfy place is not where it used to be. I don't recognize this place, so I'm pushing back. And part of that, the church needs to just get over and get back to business. Get it back to kingdom business.
Yeah.
And that's a hard shift for a lot of people that have spent their whole life thinking life was one way, and it really was a charade. It wasn't there.
I think the thing that we run into is we're not in here to change the ideals of that kingdom. We're in this to bring those people into God's. And that's where the issue of we fight morality and things like that, where, you know, we look at laws that are going against our morals. We look at things that go against our morals. And it's to me, it seems like a battle that we shouldn't be fighting. And I believe that from the perspective of we're not going out there to try and change their kingdom. We're going out there to try and get them into ours, into God's. We bring them under the knowing that God is love, and that he loves them and is merciful and has grace for them and everything like that. And Jesus is the Son of God and is the King of that kingdom. And that's the tenets of it. And then once you accept that, then things start to fall into line. Once you start understanding that Jesus is your King and is the Son of the living God, you start getting those morality issues that start shifting a little bit.
Yeah, that's the thing, is as more and more people enter in the kingdom of God in our form of government, they will elect people who also have those values. But right now, culture has shifted away from God, so we're putting in politicians who have shifted away from God. We're the product of us not making disciples.
Yeah.
This is all about the church failing to make disciples.
Well, and the truth is like, regardless of how many people that you try to be part of this process, we are always electing a president. We are not serving a King Jesus in our country, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, like, we got to let go of the thought that, like, regardless of how our country was established, regardless of what allows us the freedom to do, King Jesus does not rule it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so once you let go of that, you start making better decisions about what's worth fighting for. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think what you're talking about, Dan, is exactly right. Like, we're holding on to the concept that might still be true, and that if we just fought hard enough in these areas, it would start to look like that again. The truth was it never was like that. Mm-hmm. It may have been painted that way.
Right.
And the infrastructure, the things that you're seeing change culturally, all we're losing is the grip of someone who of the infrastructure that said this is right or wrong. But it didn't mean that 50 years ago that people weren't on the other side of that.
Right.
I mean, it just wasn't normative. All we're losing is the needle of what's normative has moved. But it doesn't mean there weren't ever people that were on the outsides of those things.
Well, we made laws that you couldn't drink. And so what did people do? They
bootlegged it.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. We learned our lesson after 3 years of that.
Yeah.
And then we let it come back. We've got to let go of a false of ideal. We've got to deal with reality. And frankly, it's a reality that I think the Bible puts fairly plainly. And that we've just ignored for a while to say, well, it doesn't work that way here. And it does work that way here. There was just infrastructure that kind of covered those things a little bit, and we didn't have to have those conversations. And frankly, Christianity felt like it was a majority. I'm not sure kingdom living was ever a majority. in the United States.
Yeah.
But Christianity as a social club and a thought process and a moral guideline may have been a majority at some point, mm-hmm. But kingdom living, certainly not. And so what we're doing is we're just kind of pulling some stuff away that just reveals that if we're talking about kingdom living, let's deal with what we actually have in place, not kind of this myth that says we were always this or that, because we just set the bar in a weird spot. Does our country look like Christianity, or are we kingdom living? And that, I think that's the veil that's kind of tearing down. And you're right, yeah. We've either got to embrace it, or we'll keep fighting battles that we never actually won, but we felt like we lost something that we never had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Old Testament's just a long story, a narrative of you can't win this battle through legislation. And there's no set of laws that can solve the land.
Yeah.
There's no substitute for actually engaging the hearts and the minds of the people. And that's where the battle is ultimately won. It's Jesus came and he engaged the people.
Yeah.
And it's through our hearts and through God's Spirit living in our hearts. That's how he governs his kingdom, is the Holy Spirit in us. It's not by setting up a certain set of laws and saying, okay, now everyone follow these laws, because you know what happens with that.
Right.
Everyone tries to find whatever kind of loopholes they can in order to recreate the world in the way that they really want it to be.
Porn, eh? Doesn't include this? Ah. How about this? Ah.
Oh, man.
Let me try a different form. You know, just whatever.
I'll get around this somehow.
That's a pretty good point, though, is the thought process that those type of rules governing a society, it's God's own people that totally blew that one up.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
Direct evidence that this mm-hmm. isn't just, hey, we're God's people, let's see if we can get you to act like this. Like, we even stink at it.
Oh, yeah. Are we going to come up with a set of laws better than the ones that God gave? Really?
Yeah.
Is that what your hope is? And we've got better people than the ones God chose?
I'm more persuasive.
That's what you're hoping? That's your avenue of attack? No. Not going to work.
And I get it. And this is came up recently, just some other stuff we were talking about. But like, I get it. There's this underlying thought that says, I'm fighting for truth. And I'm not saying that you're not. I get the heart in that. I totally get it. But you're not fighting in the way that Jesus fought for it.
Right.
And the means matter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before we move on, can I give an update on the Thankful Leper?
Yeah, do so.
Awesome. So I wanted to make sure that I got a little bit of information out to everybody. So a couple things that we are trying to do at this point in time. We are still putting on what we're calling the roundup on every other Sunday afternoon. The next Sunday that we're actually doing it will be the 26th of October.
That's this coming Sunday.
Yep, mm-hmm. That's this coming Sunday. Will be October 26th at 2 p.m. We will be meeting at the Papa John's Sculpture Park. So that is downtown Des Moines. Everybody is absolutely welcome to come out to that. You don't have to bring anything to come out. Spend some time with us and spend time with the people that are there. But if you do have the resources and the ability to do so, I would strongly encourage you to do so. We are needing quite a few things. We are needing still camping supplies. So when it comes to like two-man tents, sleeping bags, flashlights, batteries, thermal underwear, coats, I mean, anything you can think of that you would want in the middle of the winter if you were sleeping in a dumpster, you should probably show up with that. That'd be a good decision to show up with. That's hygiene products of any kind. If you want to stay, you know, with soap and things like that, obviously that's something you would want and a luxury that sometimes you don't think about that some people don't have. Bring that out. If you can, we're also requesting gift cards in a lot of different forms. I actually have a list of some of the gift cards that we need that we're looking for, and we would bring those out if you get a chance to. We are looking for Subway gift cards of any kind. Walmart gift cards of any kind, McDonald's, Wendy's, Taco John's, Jimmy John's, and Quick Trip. So if you guys can do anything like that, please show up, spend some time with us most importantly, but if you can support us financially, we would greatly appreciate that. That's one of the big things we're looking for, and I know that that's seriously a blessing in people's lives. It's personally, it's incredible to see somebody almost in tears when you hand them a stick of deodorant. It's something you do not think about. It's something that we get very comfortable in our situations, in our lives, and we take a lot of stuff for granted. And I don't say that sentence lightly. I truly mean we take a lot of stuff for granted. The shelter we have, the food that we have, all the different things that we call normal that they don't have at all. There are people that are legitimately without coats, without a home, without anything whatsoever, that if you bring something that's $2 to you, it is something that will change their life and change their situation for the better. if it's something you think you might take for granted, it's probably a thing that they might need. So that's one of the big things we're doing. So we're continuing to do the roundup on every other Sunday, Papa John's Sculpture Park. Once again, that's downtown Des Moines, 2 p.m. A couple other things we're doing. If you look up thethankfulleper.squarespace.com, there's a lot of information on there about Bobby, the guy who runs the organization, and then a lot of the things we're doing. One of the other things that we're doing that's a big thing, we're actually pushing for what we're calling the locker room. What that is we're actually trying to get either a building or a mobile unit set up where we can have locker stations set up for people who are living in camps or downtown that are having to get away from their camps, go walk around the town and look for money, do odd jobs, do dumpster diving where they're getting cans and things like that. You wouldn't think about it if you didn't live in that situation, but when they leave those camps, sometimes their stuff gets thrown away. Sometimes their stuff gets stolen, and if all you have is a two-man tent and a sleeping bag, and that's stolen while you're out trying to get money to buy more things, you walked away to get money, and you came back with nothing. And it's completely counterproductive. So one of the things we're doing is we're trying to set up that unit that has locker rooms or a locker room so that people can come in, they can check their stuff into a locker, and they can leave their stuff in a safe place for the day. So if they need to go out, they need to get cans, they need to get food of some kind, talk to friends, network with people, go out for interviews, try and get a job, anything that they need to leave their camp for, they can actually leave their stuff there, and they're worry-free on getting their stuff stolen. And it's one less thing they have to worry about in a life that there's a lot that they feel they need to worry about. We're actually taking donations of any kind on the thankfulleper.squarespace.com. There's actually a link on there that you can donate online. Any kind of cash helps. We really want to push that fund and all those different things. So if you want any questions answered, if you're looking for more information on how to get connected or anything, you can contact a lot of different people. You can contact Bobby Depper on Facebook. He's the guy that's pretty much heading it up and is getting people fired up for it. You can send some emails to some people. You can also contact me. My real name that you will be able to find me on Facebook is Troy Engeldinger. I'll put something
on
the Facebook.
That name stinks.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
You could probably search John Buva. You might not find much, but if you're actually looking to get involved, search Troy Engeldinger. Just contact us. Let us know. There's a lot of different ways you can support. It's not just financial. There's other ways. We'd love to just have you come down and hang out with us. The last thing that I want to talk about, if you don't mind, would be the Monday night deal we do. We actually transport people from the Papa John's Sculpture Park downtown to a place called Rock Power Pizza on the south side, Chef D's Rock Power Pizza. Chef D is actually an awesome guy that opens up his restaurant to anybody in need. On Monday nights, he actually shuts down his restaurant for business and opens it up for people just to come out and get a hot meal for the first time in a long time. If you're interested in any way getting involved in that process, whether it be chauffeuring people from the park, because we're hoping to get more and more people as this goes, we could use you. Get in contact with Bobby or with myself, or also April Babcock. You can try find her on Facebook. She might be able to help you out a little bit.
Or just to simplify stuff, if you just want to hit up a message to Life in the Path, we'll make sure your information gets to the right spot.
Even better. Yeah. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Contact us. Let us know how you want to help or ask how you can help, and we'll get you in contact with the right people. So thank you for that, Ben. But it's going really well. We've got a lot of people that are getting helped. We have a lot of people that are going to be a lot warmer this winter than they were at any point in time, because God is truly moving in people's hearts, and God is really moving to help his people in this town, and it's amazing to see.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I agree. That's been a real good perspective, I think, perspective shift, even being involved with stuff like that. So, all right, you've been listening to Live from the Path. Hey, we come to you every Monday night here at 10 o'clock at livefromthepath.org, or Saturdays at 7 o'clock. On the Truth Network, 99.3 FM. And real quick, we want to give a shout-out to our sponsors. Last week, the Eisenlauers were in here. Both Bob and John were here. And, hey, man, that's Sly Boots. Bob Eisenlauer got engaged this week.
What?
What? That's what I'm saying. He was in here, and he didn't say anything. I feel like...
Well, congrats to that guy.
I mean, I feel like he could have said something.
Congrats, it could have been like a... what did they do? Those little surprise... Sing things. That's not a mosh pit. I want to say mosh pit. What do they call that?
I have no idea what is in your mind right now.
A frog pond?
A singagram or something?
No,
like
you're in a mall. All of a sudden, people break in the song.
Flash mob.
Flash mob. There we go. Yeah, I'm a culture.
Really? In here?
No,
Dan, you went somewhere else.
Dan, I appreciate you as a friend, but I never thought you were so culturally irrelevant. Did you just call a flash mob a mosh pit?
It's a mosh.
It's all good, man. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you.
Anyway,
I just read the Bible and pray in closets. So leave
that
me
means
alone.
That I'm going to be shoving people rather than people being happy and dancing, man.
Hey, big congratulations to Bob.
That's why he
didn't
ask.
Eisenhower team. Anyway, go to EisenhowerTeam.com for all your real estate stuff, buying, selling a home. He's your man to do it. And you know, it sounds like he might have a big wedding coming up. He might need some cash, so maybe you go. Maybe you'll help him out.
Maybe he needs a house.
Yeah. Do you think he sells himself his own house for big money?
Do you think he charges himself a realtor fee?
That'd be the hardest thing for me as a realtor. I'd go through all these houses I'm selling, going, yeah.
I think
I'd be a terrible car salesman too.
Daddy, man, got this a new house car. Looks nice. Hey, I'm sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Johnson. This house is no longer in the market. Yeah. I just thought about buying
it. It's been recently sold to a very handsome man.
Oh, he's stuck in that mirror over there.
Rhymes with Schmeisenlauer. Anyway, go to EisenhowerTeam.com. He's a gracious sponsor of the show. He's a wonderful man, and he may or may not be at our hibachi buffet.
Hibachi.
So I think John's coming. Yeah. It sounded like John was definitely in.
He seemed invested.
That's what I'm saying. He seems like a man that enjoys. He knows some distinctions about buffet. I'm going to take some words from him.
I know.
I don't trust you, Booba.
That's understandable.
Okay.
I don't have a lot of issues when it comes to buffets. Oh, I'll just eat.
Yeah. I feel like you might be unscrupulous at the buffet. Also, Westfield Veterinary Hospital. Go to westfieldvethospital.com. Hey, and as chance may have it, so Mike's not here tonight, but his wife is working out there for a while, kind of filling in. And so you can go out there and say, "Hey, man, thanks for sponsoring Life from the Path. By the way, can I speak with Mike's wife and see if she's out there, and then ask for things that you want to know about Mike? Because I feel like she might know those types of things." It's also an excellent veterinary hospital. Go to westfieldvethospital.com. It's where I take my dogs for all our vet needs. We go to there because they're awesome. And so anyway, check those guys out. Tell our sponsors, give them a call, send them an email, knock on the doors at late hours and say, "Hey guys, thanks for sponsoring Life from the Path." They're the ones that keep us on the air. So we very much do appreciate that. So if you are listening on the Truth Network, 99.3 FM, we got to let you go. Our time draws nigh, and so we will see you next week.
See ya.
You can catch us at the same bat time, same bat channel at Saturday at 7 here on 99.3 The Truth Network. If you're on the podcast, if you give us just a moment, we'll be right back with you. Thanks for listening to Live from the Path. Hey, shoot, man. I got like 10 more seconds. Just real quick, I want to give a heads up to the Misfit Toys Tour. It's coming through town. It's going to be November 7th, November 8th, and November 9th. Going to be at Marion on the 7th, Des Moines on the 8th at First Federated Church, and then Osceola on the 9th. Make sure you check that out. It's the Misfit Toys Tour. Give a look up. Mark and the Owls, Egypt Speaks, Hunter Dumped is here, live broadcast of Sweet Ascent. We're all going to be there. It's like $5. It's going to be an awesome show. I'm going to try to catch one here in Des Moines at Federated, but make sure you check that out. From that one place entertainment. All right, now I'll be right back with you. You listen to Life of Path. Okay, we're back. Because I'll do what I want. Yeah, shoot. I meant to mention that. All right.
Yeah.
You've got some Pope style. What do you got?
I do. I'm actually rather astonished because it seems as though Buva and I are on the same page on this one.
Hey-o!
Awesome.
So, all right, I'll just read it to you. I mean, I'm not actually... I'm not trying to piggyback. I've actually got it written out here.
Oh, I know you do.
So,
wait a minute, right. You can't write out the Pope style.
Why not?
The Pontiff don't walk out with a big old steno pad.
He's a new Pope.
You're new to the popery?
Who's going
to
tell the Pope not to?
I'm just saying.
I would.
He doesn't.
I'd stand up to the Pope and go, "Hey, man, that ain't cool."
And where's your hat?
Off the top of your hat. That's how you need to say this stuff.
Okay, we have never required a hat before.
I feel like I got the Thursday morning Pope. Go ahead, Eric.
All right, here's the Pope in his PJs. All right, guys, here's what I've got.
Why is he talking like that?
I don't know. Because he just woke up.
All right there, boys.
All right, I'm going to have us a shindig.
The Pope coming at you.
Simmer down now, the Pope's here. Right.
So remind me again, what was your Pope style, Buva? No, because I want to make the connection.
It's basically just trust in God, especially in my specific situation when it comes to finances.
Okay, yeah. All right, so here's what I've got. First point. God is wanting to do astounding things, and we need to just let him. You know, quite often we're just in the way, or we're just whatever it is. But ultimately, it comes down to trust. Are we trusting God? And he's wanting to do astounding things through our lives, and the more we trust him, the more able he is to actually use us as instruments for what he's designed for us. So on the subject of trusting, here's my next point. You're trusting God with your eternal salvation, so what's a few thousand dollars compared to that? This can be taken in one of two ways. You could look at it as your need, and imagine how much better your financial situation or your financial need would be and be addressed if you just had a couple thousand dollars.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So, you know, we can trust God. On the flip side of it, he could be asking you to meet someone else's need. If that's the case, what's with all this hedging and hem-hawing and whatnot? Just, you know, go meet the need. You're already trusting God with so much. Why not trust him with more? So what's a few thousand dollars compared to your eternal salvation? You're already trusting him.
Yeah.
In for a penny, in for a pound.
And that's a good comparison because we do treat that as the more. Mm-hmm. I trust you with my soul, maybe just a little bit with my money.
Yeah.
And we have put that in the more category as if that is more extensive than the, you know, destiny of your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Tricky. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So here's my third one, and it follows this theme. And this one I'm actually plagiarizing straight from Scripture.
Okay.
But this is the promise. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every single one of them was fulfilled. So trust God. That's my pop song. Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn. Ahem, boys. Ahem, ahem. Puff, puff, puff. You have like a pipe, I think.
Yeah.
The Thursday morning pope uses a pipe.
It's the pipe pope.
And figures out what the Wednesday pope said and kind of takes him.
Now, you've recently been told by the pope.
I love the Thursday morning pope, actually.
The Thursday morning pope.
All right. Hey, that's pope-style advice. It runs a similar vein. And here's the deal. It's something that I think continually that Scripture runs. And it's just one of those things where you can pass by and assume that other people do that. And God is asking differently from you. But one of the things that Scripture really is a great equalizer, as is, say, the life of Jesus. And the more I interact with it, the more I think to myself, like, as opposed to constantly waiting for some sort of specific direction for whatever it is you got going on in life, why don't we just be faithful to the broad things that Jesus has otherwise called us to do and see how that shakes out?
Yeah.
Sometimes we just want to sit in the corner with in the special stool and be like, but Lord, send me to somewhere directly, as opposed to, well, I mean, he gave a pretty broad swath of what kingdom living looks like. And we still kind of want to sit out the back of it and look for something particular to our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Just go about your business, which is Jesus' business, and things will be fine.
Yeah,
and that is very much sits in the trust God with it category. So true words were spoken by Jesus, but thanks, guys, for the contribution. Okay, do you got Dear Life from the Path?
I got some.
Okay.
All right. Dear Life from the Path, Halloween is around the corner, and my 7-year-old daughter has decided to be a cowgirl. Mm-hmm. She wants the boots, the hats, and the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Is it appropriate to let her have a holster and an obviously toy gun to accessorize her costume for trick-or-treating? She would not be taking that part of her costume to school on Halloween. I live in a part of the country where guns are an important part of our culture, but I am unsure how to proceed. Confused about Halloween in Montana.
Yeah, unless you're going as the eunuch cowboy, I feel like you should take the gun.
Mm-hmm.
The what? The eunuch cowboy?
The cowboy without the piece.
I didn't realize such a thing existed.
So what it is. I've used artsy language to describe our problem. Take the gun.
Thanks. So take the gun. What do you guys think?
I'm going to say no. Cowgirl's an anachronism.
Is it what?
It's an anachronism. They didn't hire girls to do ranch hand stuff.
It's a costume.
Oh, well, it then costume. It's okay.
They're not vetting for historical accuracy.
All right, then if that's the case, make sure it's got a clear orange safety
7-year-old
deal
daughter.
On it. So,
no, I've never met an alien, so I feel like you're out of line.
That's definitely
out of line.
Realistically speaking, we haven't had any true contact to be proven to extraterrestrials. So,
what are you, poor, going as a serial killer? What's the deal? Come up with your... That's what the poor people go as.
Serial killer?
I went for one as a number of years. You go to the DAV, you pick up like whatever random pieces of thing are. You're like,
that's true.
That's what I
did. That's what I'm saying. Poor people go a serial killer.
That's right. I totally went as a zombie hillbilly one time, and I literally just grabbed a pair of jeans and ripped them. Yeah. That's all I did. I put on one of my dad's flannels, and I ripped a pair of jeans.
Yeah.
That's it.
It was the less money you have, the more you seem or not exposed to being concerned about how offensive you are to people with actual mental health issues. But you're like, no, I'm psychotic. See, see how I've dressed randomly.
I look like you.
It's offensive is what it is. But that's what happened. Yeah, take the gun.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed that she even asked the question. Wow, that's a silly question. Take the gun.
Especially in Montana. I mean, yeah. You may want to rethink. There's parts
everybody
of the country.
Has a gun.
Especially in Montana.
Bring a gun. It's a toy.
I feel like
if you're in Kansas, maybe not. But Montana, definitely.
If it was New York, take the cannoli, leave the gun.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to be a cowgirl in New York City? Come on. All right.
What's the secular advice?
Secular says, dear Confused, guns may be an important part of the culture where you live, but how do you feel about them? If it's all right with you and the weapon your child carries is obviously a toy, then there should be no problem as you take her from house to house collecting her goodies. But there's nothing wrong with a 7-year-old cowgirl not having a gun and holster as part of her costume. If you need verification, have her check out the character Jesse in the movie Toy Story 2. P.S., having her not take a toy gun to school is wise because many schools have strict policies about weapons, including toy weapons being brought on campus.
Now, on a side note, this would be a good opportunity to teach some gun safety.
That's correct.
Teach her to respect
I like that.
It.
Yeah.
Even though it is a toy, don't treat it like a toy. Treat it like something that is a
weapon
that could kill a person. So respect it.
Yeah, but here's the deal. It's like a lot of things that we fear because we've actually not provided any education at all.
Yeah, right.
I got actually, I was thinking about this week. So I saw an advertisement for one of those cooking shows, the kitchen shows, and it's got kids on it. Like people, like little kids that have been cooking. I mean, these kids look friggin' awesome, you know? Mm-hmm. Like they're making, and they're 6 or 7 years old. Mm-hmm. And the deal is that they're in there flipping eggs and baking things. It's because someone educated them on how to do that.
Yeah.
And the more that you raise kids and be like, well, you know, you'd never touch the stove. They're going to be, you know, 15 and not know how to cook anything.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they're probably going to get burned at some point. But the deal is if you never ever educate.
They'll get over it.
Educate them how to deal with things. Yeah. Like, they're going to be afraid of it, right?
Yeah.
And like that's why this kid was impressive to me in this commercial because I thought, I mean, that kid's obviously been cooking for 4 years. It started when they were like 4 years old, but it's possible if you educate them to handle things correctly. All right. What else you got, Bubba?
All right, dear Live from the Path. A female acquaintance recently asked me to submit a reference letter for her in order to help her in a custody battle with her ex-husband.
Ooh.
She had problems with drugs and alcohol in the past, but has been sober for more than a year now. She wants the recommendation letter to reflect how much she has changed for the better. I didn't know her a year ago and didn't witness the change. Also, from what little I have seen, her parenting skills are questionable at best. How do I proceed? Ignoring her request isn't an option because she has asked multiple times. Acquaintance in Georgia.
Write the letter and then give it to her. And say, do you want me to hand this to the court? That seems fair, right? I'll write the letter you asked me for. I'll represent it, and honestly, you decide whether you feel like you want to be represented by my letter.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
I've written a lot of affidavits before in settings similar to that, you know, and I think I just use really honest, saying, hey, I don't know this person before. This is what I observe now.
Yeah.
And, you can't lie. I mean,
right.
You got to be honest, and they've asked you to do it, so just tell them, yeah, I'm going to be honest, just so you know, here's about what I'm going to say, and then do what you want with it.
So if you have experience in this, let me ask you about this then. So have you ever had experience with the whole writing about parenting styles and things like that? Because I think one of her questions is, how do I react in the concept of, I think her parenting is questionable. Should she write that into the letter? What should she do?
I actually went to a court, and I was grilled by an attorney once about a custody case, and I just tried to be you just be honest. I mean, this is the children you're looking out for too.
Right.
It's not just a friend.
Yeah,
and
absolutely,
and just I would always say something to the effect of, well, this is what I have observed. I don't know when they're at home in private. I don't know how they're like in public. I know how they're like in a church setting. I know what they're like in front of me. You know, and say things like that. It was an interesting situation when the
opposing attorney, you know, accused me of trying to paint him out to be some great parent. I'm thinking, that's not really what I said, but, you know, you're going to hear what you want. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just you have to be honest and objective as much as possible. Okay. Because it could be just maybe I wouldn't parent that way. It doesn't mean it's a bad parenting.
Right.
It's just
right.
I wouldn't do it. I would handle it differently.
Yeah, and I think that's probably one of the things is if I were to have to prepare such a letter, I might provide what your observations are, like what you've seen.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you don't need my cumulative assessment as to whether if their parenting choices are iffy at best. Well, I don't see all their parenting choices. Mm-hmm. I know I can say I've seen at some point I noticed this. I have witnessed this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm certainly not in a position to say, you know, whether what amount of their parenting choices are good or whether they're bad or whether they're different. So, yeah, like you stick to things that otherwise you can say, here's what I've seen. People can react to whether that is a good or a bad thing.
Yeah.
You're just saying, here are my experiences.
I've had to write letters for multiple parents, families adopting, too, and the agency wants to know what kind of their parenting skills and so forth and do assessments. And, like you said, you can only report what you've seen. You can find a flaw in anybody.
Yeah, right.
About anything. So, I tend to stay with
best
the positive stuff. Unless it's a serious life-threatening, like, you really shouldn't let these people have this child, then I would say that, too. But
okay.
They wouldn't generally ask me to write one. So.
Yeah.
You saw me strangling my child one day. Would you write a reference?
I would.
No.
Yes, can sure. I send it to the opposing counsel?
Yeah, exactly.
Would you like me to lie on it?
I've got some photos right here.
All right, here's what Secular says. Dear acquaintance, tell your acquaintance a version of what you have told me. Great, already starting off with a version. Not comfortable writing the letter because you have known her only a relatively short time and haven't witnessed how far she has come. It's honest. Do not mention that you think her parenting skills are lacking if you would like to maintain the relationship. That's what Secular's got. All right, we got time for one more?
Terrible advice. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty terrible.
Dear Live from the Past, I often shop at a convenience store on the corner for various things. It is run by two men.
Is this Mike?
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
It is run by two men I see fairly often, but rarely talk to. I would like to thank them for being available nearly every hour of the week, year-round. How can I appropriately show my thanks? I think supporting their business might be the best way, but I'm not sure what else to do other than simply continue buying from them. Do you have any advice? Appreciative in Albany.
What? I'm not even following this.
How about say, hey, thank you. You guys are always there for me.
All right. So there's a there's a person who frequents a convenience store.
Yeah.
The two dudes in there are good guys.
Uh-huh.
They don't... this person doesn't really know what to say.
I don't know how to communicate.
I don't know how to show appreciation. I think buying stuff there might help out a little bit.
I wrote
bit.
Your name on my belly.
Woo! Buy them a pack of gum that they can resell.
All right. So what's our advice?
Whatever it is that you said to me in preposition to this letter, go say that. And then awkwardly walk out and maybe buy an orange juice.
Hey, you guys are great. That'll be $1.39. All right.
Any hooser. I'll be gone.
You guys are open all the time.
Here's the deal. Okay. Go on one of those online survey things and fill out a really positive...
Do you guys have a satisfaction survey that I can fill out? Because I would give you great scores right now.
What's the website that you...
Yelp.
Yelp. Yelp. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, go on Yelp and really talk them up.
Okay.
It's about a mosh pit. I don't know.
Our answer is either be awkward because you probably are based off of this letter and walk in and say, hey, thanks, and then walk out. Or Yelp them. All right.
You guys are great. Do you have a public bathroom? Like, how awkward can you be? Although, hey, check this out. So this Sunday, I totally mistook a person for someone different than who they were.
Yes.
I mean, I major awkwardly. It was a guy that came to church for the first time and who I'd met before and whose name I remembered, but I mixed up his circumstance with someone else and asked like a very specific question that had nothing to do with him.
How are those hemorrhoids doing there, buddy?
Oh, man alive. And
how's Aunt Eliza doing?
And I'm better than Mike, I'll put it that way. But otherwise, my small talk skills are just like
it's
a notch above Mike Foost. And so, like, after that, I apologized and said, shoot, that's rough times. I totally sorry, man. And then we just looked at each other for a little bit. And no one was helping me out. I yawned. I made an awkward statement about that. And I excused myself.
So I see you brushed your teeth.
It was rough times.
Giant awkward meatball.
Oh, man. I thought, I cannot get out of here soon enough.
Here, I had an awkward situation like that, too. So I'm walking out of a local establishment with a buddy of mine. And...
Was it Hibachi?
Hibachi.
No, it was actually Dairy Queen. He's walking out, and I stop to do something. I can't remember. I was reading the bulletin board, and another customer walks past me and around and is walking behind my friend. And my friend reaches back to tickle him on the stomach, thinking it was me. And I was seeing it happen, and I had to just let it happen. There was nothing I could do to stop it, because I can't just yell at the man and say, stop, you're about to be tickled. And I can't yell at my friend, stop,
for the creeper.
You're about to tickle a stranger. So I had to let it happen, and it happened. It was wonderfully awkward. You could cut the tension with a knife and just eat it. It was delicious. It was great. And he looked at me with just hatred in his eyes afterwards. He was so mad that I didn't stop him from tickling another man's stomach. It was wonderful. Okay.
Maybe he learned a lesson.
He sure did. Don't tickle my stomach. Especially if it's a stranger's. So let's read what Secular's got. So, dear Appreciative, I believe that if people have something nice to say, they shouldn't keep it inside. Tell the men their efforts are appreciated.
I'm so stressed.
I've bottled it all up inside these compliments that I have for people.
I'm sure they'll be pleased to know their hard work is recognized. Other than that, mention it to others who live in the area. It's good publicity for the store, and it might increase their business.
Hey, man, that store's great. Do you have a public bathroom? Actually, now, to be honest, that is something we probably could, it would help to do more of, which is to say the things that you're otherwise thinking, is to say, hey, man, thanks a lot. You know, this has been very helpful to me. Doesn't have to be awkward. Doesn't have to be, a bunch of stuff. But, I mean, even sending a guy an email or, you know, stopping by and saying, hey, I really appreciate that. Just things that you otherwise think but don't necessarily take the time to do, just take the time to do that. That stuff goes a long way. It's in not only creating like a positive atmosphere between you and somebody else, but like there's just a lot of outlets where people don't have a great forum in which to understand whether they are valued or not, unless someone takes the time to do that. And there's some people that do that just rock at that, and there's most of us do not. Most of us will do it as it's part of a passing conversation, but there's something about coming like, I don't need anything else. I don't even buy anything today. I just want to tell you guys, I really like your establishment. I like the way you do business. I feel fortunate that I'm close and that I get to be interact with you on a quasi weekly basis or whatever it is. It's just a cool thing to do.
Dear local Hispanic restaurant, I like the way you make nachos. Sincerely, Buva.
I really appreciate your overpriced yet delicious guacamole.
Dear Hibachi, I can't wait.
I cannot wait.
I'm counting the hours.
Hibachi.
Hey,
all right, guys. Hey, thanks a lot for hanging out with us on Live from the Path. I hope that that advice was helpful to you. It didn't change my life, but you got different problems.
I know how to interact with people now.
That's right. we will see you next week. Hey, don't miss that Thankful Leper stuff, guys. Come down. Hook up with us on Sunday. Bring some stuff to hand out to some folks. Like, what Buva said was pretty accurate, pretty telling, is the stuff that we take for granted means the world to someone who doesn't have it. And so grab it. You know, you bought two because it was on sale at the Sam's Club. Bring it with you. Yep. Hand it out to somebody. They'll take it. Like I said, we were talking about it last week on the show. If someone took a can of uncooked pinto beans. Or no, it wasn't a can. It was like a dry bag of pinto beans. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what in the heck, man? Like, I'd let that stuff lie. I'd be eating cardboard before I'd be picking up that thing of pinto beans. Something doesn't mean anything to me. And there's some guy that goes like, heck yeah, man. I can do some really cool stuff with that pinto beans. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm saying? Like, just the things you don't think about. Check your cupboards. Check your closet. Even pick some stuff up. Just head out somewhere. Take $50, $40, $20. Just buy some stuff. Bring it out with you. It's at the Western Gateway Park. It's Papa John's Sculpture Park in downtown Des Moines. 2 o'clock. And just come hang out. There's plenty of stuff to do, plenty of people to talk to. Anyway, thanks for listening to Live from the Path. We'll see you next week.